People sometimes ask how to measure whether they're making progress in their meditation. And one of the ways of measuring is to see how quickly you can detect a distraction and pull yourself out of it. Because there are steps. The more quickly you detect these steps, the more solid your concentration will be. The better your alertness, the better your mindfulness. And it requires speed, because these steps happen very quickly. You're here and suddenly you're off someplace else. And things happen in that brief moment. Little messages were sent in your brain. Sometimes they were sent even while you were with your breath. But they were sent in very fast packets of information, like speeded up recordings. If you were able to take those recordings and slow them back down again, you could see part of the brain was talking to another part of the brain, saying as soon as the boss loses alertness, as soon as the boss slips in mindfulness, we're going to go. Another part of the brain says, yes. This is why it's good to think of the committee of the mind and to realize that they're pretty devious, and there are lots of them. If you're not careful, you get overpowered, because there's only one of you. And you kind of change the balance of power by getting more parts of the mind on your side. This is one of the reasons why we try to get the breath comfortable. Give the mind a good place to stay right here. Find a topic that your mind enjoys in terms of the concentration. If the breath is too subtle, you can switch over to thoughts of goodwill, contemplation of the body, anything that you find engaging. So the parts of the mind that want to find a quick hit of pleasure will have some pleasure. There'll still be the recalcitrant parts. In Thai, they talk about them as, they say, the defilements want this, the defilements want that. It's if there's somebody else in there beside you. And there actually is, in the sense of all these identities you've had in the past that you put aside for the time being. But they have their tricks, and they have their ways of entertainment. In fact, a lot of them are looking for that entertainment right now. You're sitting here with nothing else to do, no other responsibilities. You could think of your responsibilities down in the kitchen, your responsibilities with other jobs in the monastery. That's one form of entertainment. And it's a self-righteous form, too, because you actually do have work you have to do. You have duties. There's a double set of arguments right there. So you've got to be prepared. These parts of the mind will communicate quickly. It's like you're a corporation. You're the president of the corporation. But there are factions in the corporation who have other ideas. They're not happy with your policies. They're trying to sabotage them. So they'll wait until you're distracted. Lose consciousness for a moment. As that happens, you're in the state of being the meditator in the body, watching the breath. Because that's a fabrication, it will stop at some point, and you have to keep it going. But sometimes in that moment of stopping, that's when they slip out. And they've got their audiovisual department with projectors. They'll project images into the mind. And instead of looking at the projector, you look at the screen that it's projected on. The whole world is projected out there, and you want to get into that world. That's how you've entertained yourself in the past. I mean, that is the process of becoming. And it's something we're really good at. But you've got to tell yourself, this is a different kind of becoming. You're fully here in the present moment, alert to what you're doing right here, right now. You want this state of becoming, the state of concentration, because that allows you to see the mechanisms by which states of becoming are made. Both in the way you consciously do things, you have an object that you want to focus on. There's a desire right there. Around that desire, there's the world of your body. And then you go into that world of the body. And the advantage is you're right here, where the processes are happening. But then you lose your focus for some reason or another. And that's when the other members of the corporation slip in, projecting more images onto screens to distract you. And there's part of you that really likes this. Remember, these different beings, these different defilements in your mind, they have been you at different points in the past. So it feels very natural to take on their identities. You've got to remind yourself, this is not what you're here for now. You've got a different set of priorities. This is one of the reasons why we have Dharma talks during the meditation. To remind you that when you're on the path, your values are different. Your aims are different. You're not here just for entertainment. You're not here just to pass the time of day. You're here because there's work to be done. And you're resting not just to rest, you're resting to gather strength. So that when issues come up like this, you can see them clearly. Then you're not so tempted to fall into them. You're more interested in seeing how they form, because you realize that how they form, that's what dependent co-arising is all about. How they form is how suffering gets created. You want to remind yourself of that over and over and over again, because it is counterintuitive. After all, as I said, these are the voices in your mind that promise entertainment. And yet the Buddha is saying that these are the same voices that are going to make you suffer. They don't seem to be making you suffer on the surface of things, but they develop bad habits. You can think of when you're on your deathbed about to go, and these voices are still projecting images here, projecting images there. If you actually try to go into them, you can go actually into them. They're not just screens anymore. They're actual worlds when you leave this body. And what may have seemed entertaining on the surface, you suddenly realize that it has lots of details that you didn't expect. There's the downside. You've fallen for the allure and you didn't look for the drawbacks. This is why the Buddha emphasized again and again that pattern. See how these things are originated. How do they form in the mind? At what point was the decision made by that group of committee members that they wanted to go off someplace else? And see how it passes away. Because they too are impermanent. They're habitual, they'll come back again, but they do come and they do go. They're not there all the time. And then look for their allure. Exactly how do they tempt you? When you're bored, how do they promise some entertainment? When you're sleepy, how do they just slip in and pull you away? When you're feeling frustrated in your meditation, how do they say, well, here's an alternative. Here's a quick fix. This is something you can do skillfully. You can entertain yourself. You can't escape into your worlds of fantasy. But then you've got to look at their drawbacks. These are the habits that keep you going from one life to the next. This is samsara. Remember, samsara is not a place, it's an activity. It's an activity you're addicted to. And it keeps bringing on more suffering for yourself and for others. You have to engage in this contemplation again and again and again. Until it really hits home. This is why when John Lee's early writings on breath meditation and concentration in general, he would have you start out with thoughts that give rise to sangwega. Thinking about aging, illness, and death, thinking about the unattractive aspects of the body. To remind you that we're here working on serious business. You want to be clear that your awareness of those drawbacks comes quickly. Because when you're on your deathbed and the mind is weak, it'll go for quick solutions. And if you're not quick in providing this solution, you're going to fall for the solution of the audiovisual department or whoever's behind the audiovisual department. So be on your lookout for the fact that even though you're here with a good intention to stay with the breath, there's part of the mind that's not on board. When the Buddha talks about getting the mind into concentration, his description of the activities of right mindfulness, on the one hand, you try to keep track of one object in and of itself, but you're also trying to subdue greed and distress with reference to the world. In other words, you know there are distractions that will pull you out into the world. So you've got to be prepared to subdue them. Be on the lookout. Be quick. So that when they send their quick messages, you can decipher them. You can break their code. And you can double down in your desire to stay with the breath instead. Because if your determination is strong, you can overcome them. That's why we're not here, just to have a few moments of lucid calm and to be at our ease. We've got to be determined that we're going to come out victorious. We've got serious work that needs to be done. Nobody else can do it for us. To have a sense of how important this work is. Don't get grim about it. Enjoy the fact that you have found a good path. It's the path out. But it is serious. We're here on serious business. So don't let these lazy, irresponsible voices pull you away.